Shen, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. The Sharks now, the major changes they made, will start in goal because for the last three seasons, goaltending has not been good for the San Jose Sharks. Martin Jones has struggled mightily. They brought in Devan Dubnyk last year. That didn't work out, so they moved him at the deadline. Now they've got James Reimer and Aiden Hill, who each on two-year deals. At, you know, they've only got, I think, combined 4.4 in goaltending. Although, I guess if you add in Martin Jones, you add in another, $2 million. So it's about, 6.3, in goaltending, which still isn't a whole bunch. What do you make of their goaltending? Do you see either one of those guys as the favorite to get more starts?
Well, certainly they're hoping that Aiden Hill is the guy. I mean, they traded a second round pick for him. And so they're hoping that, you know, Aiden Hill, young, kind of unproven guy, about 49 games NHL experience, is the guy that kind of establishes himself. So it's set up for him. James Reimer is obviously a pretty good insurance policy there. But with Hill, you know, what they like about him, they mentioned his size, also his ability to save high danger chances. And so I think the big hope is that he's the guy that can kind of turn around the San Jose Sharks goaltending picture.
Well, you know, it's not just goaltending. Obviously, team defense will help, but there was a lot of games, having watched them fairly closely the last few seasons, where their goaltending just simply wasn't good enough. But same can be said about their team defense. And, you know, they didn't make a lot of changes on their back end. In fact, Carlson, Burns, Vlasic, Semik, Ferraro, Knezov, they were all there last year. Do you see anyone else pushing for a spot in their top six, or are those pretty much a lock to be the top six in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, that is like, those are the guys who are penciled in into spots onto the opening night roster, those six you mentioned. It looks like they're going to have an open competition for the seventh spot. So we're going to have a bunch of kind of young unproven guys like, you know, Artemi Knyazhov, will be vying for that spot, Santeri Hataka, some veterans like Jake Middleton and Jacob Megna. I guess in a way, no one too exciting. I think the big hope for the Sharks is that, you know, they've added, you know, speaking of team defense, right, obviously it's not just about defensemen. And so they added some very good two-way defensive forwards in Nick Bedino and Andrew Cogliano. And so maybe that will help kind of the team defense in general, and also to, you know, take off the load from the defensemen a little bit, having forwards there like Bonino and Cogliano who are, you know, more conscientious on the back check and things like that.
Shen Peng joins us from San Jose Hockey Now. Now, what about signing, you know, like a free agent defenseman to come in as the number seven? Because usually you don't want young guys who are in their first year pros sitting as the number seven defenseman. Do you see, like, would they have interest to potentially, like, if I look down the list of free agents available, defensemen specifically, who you might even just sign them as a UFA, but, you know, there are some guys out there who at least have experience, you know, that they could go after an Erik Gudbranson, you know, as a number seven, a Jason Demers, for instance, maybe even Jordy Benn, Braden Coburn, you know, Ben Hutton, those type of guys. Do you see the Sharks either adding one or even bringing one in or two on a PTO?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. You know, when free agency opened and after the first couple of days when the first white wave of guys signed, I checked in on a couple of guys and, you know, I found out that the Sharks did not reach out on a guy like, say, John Merrill, right, who's a, you know, perfect, you know, 6'7" defenseman, or Jason Demers. They did not reach out on a guy like that who also would be great for that role. But that was, you know, around the opening of free agency, so maybe they've changed their mind. So that's something that I am following up on. It does make perfect sense, like you said, that you don't want to throw a rookie into that spot, especially if you have an injury or whatever, and all of a sudden you have a rookie defenseman like, you know, Knyazhov, or not Knyazhov, and or Ryan Merkley, all of a sudden taking on that role. You know, want to try to avoid that if you can. So it makes sense, and so that's definitely something that I'm looking for. But I can say that early on free agency, the Sharks did not seem like they were looking for that, and it's definitely possible that they wanted to see how, you know, Dev Camp would go, and, you know, that just passed for them. And maybe they're waiting to see how the rookie face-off, rookie games go the week before training camp to see, you know, maybe they want to see more of what they've got before they decide that they need to add somebody else.
Shen, looking at the Sharks up front, well, I guess the big story, of course, is Evander Kane. I saw a story, you know, now he's got some, he's got another court case, pending, involving, you know, I don't know, something involving, you know, trying to pay off someone for an abortion or not. Like, the stories with Kane off the ice are probably being the biggest stories in San Jose. Does he show up? Is he going to be in San Jose? What's going to happen?
That's, you know, your guess is as good as mine. Right now, you know, it's hard to say. You know, there's been stories too that, of course, that his teammates don't want him back. And so if Doug Wilson is trying to, you know, offload that contract in the next, you know, he's got a month to do it, right? Offload that contract or offload that player. And so that's a big, big question. And, you know, every kind of, result, or eventuality, in this scenario is a bad scenario, probably. Like, yeah, you know, maybe Kane needs to come back because he's making a lot of money. It's hard to get rid of him, but his teammates don't want him there. Or you get rid of him, but you got to pay somebody to take him. You know, I don't think anybody's taking him straight up for his contract. You know, 4 years and $7 million left. As productive as he is, you know, he's had six straight seasons, 20 goal plus production. But you know, in terms of his locker room influence, that sort of thing, you know, there's nothing positive coming out for that. So you keep him, you trade him and have to add, you know, tack things on, or you find some way to get out of his contract through some kind of termination. You're not going to get rid of that contract clean unless the NHL finds that he gambled on NHL games, which, you know, seems to be an unlikely finding just because that's a huge leap to think that an NHL player would do that. So if they try to terminate his contract, you know, the scenario that I think of most is the Mike Richards scenario when the Kings terminated Mike Richards' contract a few years ago. And guess what? The Kings are still paying Mike Richards on the cap until 2032.
You know, I guess the good bad news about the Sharks and Kane was their best forward last year. It really wasn't close. He was their most consistent forward all season long. Yet, you know, you hear that maybe they're, you know, not necessarily the most popular teammate. So that's a challenge for them. They had some guys, you know, Logan Couture, Timo Meier, you know, Hurdle banged up a little bit, but do those guys have, like, you know, bounce back? Hurdle's a pending UFA, so I'm guessing if he doesn't have a bounce back season or the Sharks struggle, maybe he's going to get dealt. But what do you make of their other guys in Couture, Meyer, Hurdle, LeBanc? Like, all of those guys collectively didn't have the seasons they need to be when you look at the salary they're getting paid and the amount of ice time they get. If that team's going to have any success, they need those guys to bounce back. Do you think they can?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, Hurdle, for what it's worth, started off a little slow, but ended up at 43 points, I think, in 50 games or so. So that's not too bad a figure, especially for, you know, he's making 5.6 a year. Couture actually got off to a torrid start. First half of the season, Logan Couture, first 28 games of last season, he was at that point second in the NHL in 5-on-5 goals scored. You know, I think he was just behind, I believe, Connor McDavid type of guys like Austin Matthews. So he got off to a great start, and then he got hurt a bit. And so I guess that's sort of the reasoning right there. Not that I expect him to be, you know, up there with Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid for scoring. But if he can stay a little bit healthier, maybe he can be a little more consistent. But he got off to such a great start last year that suggests that, you know, the game, he still has a lot of game left. Just, you know, needs a little bit more luck with health. Maybe a guy like Nick Bedino will take off sort of the defensive zone starts from him and allow him to concentrate more offensively, and that will help a guy like Logan Couture. And a big question, though, is a guy like Timo Meier. You know, all the talent in the world, should be a surefire 30-goal guy a year, in my opinion. And so, you know, hasn't quite manifested the last couple of years, but he's definitely young enough and talented enough to do it. The question is, well, of course, will he?
I thought one of the best free agent signings in the entire NHL was Nick Bonino. Nick Bonino has been really good in the role that you want him as a third line center, good productive player, 5-on-5, good penalty killer, and they got him for 2 years at basically $2 million. They lacked a, you know, a veteran solid third line center, somebody who could win faceoffs as well and kill penalties. Him and Andrew Cogliano will come in and I assume take that role, because I just felt San Jose overplayed their best forwards too much, Couture and Hurdle in every situation, and that hurt them at 5-on-5. They weren't nearly as productive. Bonino and Cogliano, do you see them both on the third line or do you see them split in the bottom six?
I see Bonino as more of a surefire third line guy. You know, at this point, Cogliano might be closer to a fourth line guy. He's not quite the Cogliano that we knew from a few years ago, where, you know, he's a guy that could pop in 15 to 20. That was a few years ago, but now he's more of a, like I said, more of a fourth line guy. But yeah, Bonino for sure, though, is going to be the surefire third line center. And yeah, he is the kind of, at least at that price point, I mean, obviously you would love to get a guy like Deneau or whatever, but too expensive, right? But at that price point, you can't get a better third line center potentially than Nick Bonino. And hopefully he hasn't slowed down too much. You know, he's a little bit older now. Even Minnesota last year was putting him on wing last year, you know, because, you know, according to scouts I talked to, you know, maybe his feet have slowed down a little bit, where maybe wing might be more ideal for him. But he's a guy that wants to play center. He mentioned that in his introductory press conference with us, that, yeah, one of the attractions to San Jose was that San Jose told him straight up, you're going to play center for us. And he is a natural center, and that's where he wants to play. And so hopefully he can fill that role and take some of, yeah, like you mentioned, I totally agree. Last year, they would play a guy like Logan Couture, you know, in all situations. They would play him offensive zone, defensive zone, and use them everywhere. And maybe that was a bit much for a guy like Couture that needs a little bit older, needs a little bit of protection, a little sheltering right there. And so maybe, hopefully, Bonino can help provide that. And if he can help provide that, that does definitely take down sort of a kind of a domino effect on a Couture and a Hurdle, and allow them to kind of concentrate offensively, which is going to help both guys in the long term.
Shan, are the Sharks a playoff team this coming season?
Well, in this division, maybe. But we'll see, though. Yeah, I think there's definitely a bubble team. You know, we mentioned guys like Bonino and Cogliano and Reimer, and they're definitely good additions. And the Sharks today are a better team that they ended the season at last season. But, you know, these are still, you know, depth support signings, very good support signings, but still depth signings. And so the big question, again, is the, you know, question that we had in 2019, in the beginning of 2019 season, the beginning of 2020 season, can Erik Karlsson come back and be anything close to the Erik Karlsson that we remember? Can Brent Burns come back and be, you know, close to the point of game Brent Burns? Can Mark Edward Vlasic, you know, have a resemblance to the world class guy that we knew a few years ago? These are the big questions. And there are, you know, all these guys are a couple of years away from their best hockey. And so it's a very open, legitimate question to see if those guys can reach those heights again. If they cannot, then it's going to be another struggle this season for the San Jose Sharks, as sort of a bubble-ish, few points out sort of team. Not bad enough for like the number one pick, but not good enough to make the playoffs. But if, you know, any one or any two of these three defensemen that I mentioned can come back to sort of a semblance of their prime, then the Sharks, you know, can be in good shape there.
Shan, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for this.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, good to talk to you, Jason.